Let's read together 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 through 18. In this last section of chapter 1, we have a call to be faithful to the sound doctrine of the Word of God. We also have three early Christians mentioned by name here. Two of them are mentioned as negative examples, and one is mentioned as a positive example. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. All right, let's look at some background notes. In verse 16, Paul speaks of his chain. Remember, Paul at this time was a prisoner in Rome. This was his second Roman imprisonment. His first Roman imprisonment we read about at the end of the book of Acts. There he was under house arrest. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. So this was his first Roman imprisonment. He was under house arrest. He was chained to a Roman guard. And from there he wrote the so-called prison epistles. Can you name them? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. 2 Timothy was written from Paul's second Roman imprisonment. Again, Paul was in chains, but this time it was not house arrest. This time it's a dungeon. In verse 15, Paul says, all those in Asia have turned away from me. The Asia mentioned here is not the Asia of today. No, this was the province of Asia under the Roman Empire. It was where Western Turkey is today. Now, when Paul says that all who are in Asia have turned away from me, most likely he is referring to the Christians of that area who could have come to his legal defense, or maybe even physical comfort. Most likely they've turned away because of fear. Remember, the Roman persecutions of Christians had already begun. So to identify with Paul was to risk your life. What would you have done? It would seem that those who didn't, they're rebuked here in Scripture. And I'm sure many of these Christians had all kinds of good reasons why not to. In any case, soon after Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, he was beheaded for the sake of Christ. We see from chapter 4 that Paul realized the end was near. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." In view of his departure, Paul was very concerned that Timothy carry on as a faithful and courageous Christian. In these verses, he exhorts Timothy to hold fast and guard the sound doctrine of the Christian faith. Now remember, this is not just a first century letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. This is God's word to us. We too are exhorted here to hold fast and guard the sound doctrine of the Christian faith. And that brings us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point or teaching point. Number one, every Christian is commanded to stick to the standard of sound doctrine. Every Christian is commanded to stick to the standard of sound doctrine. Verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The word form or pattern here means standard or sketch, like a blueprint. As a builder must stick to the blueprint of a building, so a Christian must stick to the standard of sound doctrine. A number of years ago, I remember being in a house where in the upstairs hallway, there was a step of about 4 inches. And I asked about the reason for this step. Well, I was told that the builders had not followed the blueprint. The step had to be added because one end of the second floor was about 4 inches lower than the other half. That's not good. A builder must stick to the blueprint. Well, in the same way, we as faithful Christians must stick to the standard of sound doctrine. That's the idea there. It's like a blueprint. Sound, by the way, means healthy. The doctrines of Scripture are for our spiritual health. Even the unpleasant doctrines, like church discipline. The Galatian Christians did not stick to the standard of sound doctrine. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. It's significant that the phrase is literally sound words, not sound thoughts or sound concepts. Here, I would say we definitely have a scripture supporting verbal inspiration. God gave his doctrines in sound words, not just thoughts or concepts. Words are more precise than general thoughts or concepts. Let's stick to the sound words of Scripture. It's a command of Scripture. And of course, as we see here in verse 13, we do it in the context of faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Every Christian is commanded to stick to the standard of sound doctrine. Doctrinal point number two. Every Christian is commanded to guard the deposit of sound doctrine. Every Christian is commanded to guard the deposit of sound doctrine. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What is that good thing or good deposit or treasure? It is the gospel and the sound doctrines of Scripture. We are to keep or guard the gospel and sound teaching. The same idea is back here in 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. What are we to guard sound doctrine against? Against loss, against mixture, against addition. Remember these three D's. We should guard against distortion. We should guard against dilution. We should guard against deletion. We should guard against letting the gospel, sound doctrine, be distorted or diluted or any of it deleted. Why is there so much sin and moral corruption tolerated within the church today? It's because the sound doctrine of sin has not been guarded. The Bible clearly teaches what sin is and how to deal with it. But many church leaders have not guarded the sound doctrine, the sound teaching of God's word concerning sin. Why are some Christians today accepting the idea that there are errors in the Bible? It is because the sound doctrine of the inerrancy of Scripture has not been guarded. The encouraging word here is that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to enable us to do what God has commanded us to do. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, there in verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So that's good news. That's encouraging. We have the Holy Spirit to enable us to maintain sound teaching, sound doctrine. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling within, and every Christian is commanded to guard the deposit of sound doctrine. Practical application number one, let's not follow Phygellus and Hermogenes into God's hall of shame. Let's not follow Phygellus and Hermogenes into God's hall of shame. Verse 15, as you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Phygellus and Hermogenes were Christians, but they turned away from Paul. Probably because of the fear of persecution, maybe from Paul's sound doctrine as well. The way Paul puts it here seems to indicate that he was somewhat surprised and disappointed that they had turned away. All those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Would you believe it, Timothy? They actually have turned away. As a result, they are listed in God's hall of shame in Scripture. How would you like to have your name engraved forever in Scripture as an example of unfaithfulness? Now, I remember some years ago being part of a noontime Bible study at a company where I was employed. There were several Christians in this company, but some of them were afraid to let it be known that they were Christians, and they would not come out and support the Bible study. Are you afraid to be identified as a Christian? Maybe for fear of persecution? Let's not follow Phygellus and Hermogenes into God's hall of shame. Practical application number two. Let's follow Onesiphorus into God's hall of fame. Let's follow Onesiphorus into God's hall of fame. Verses 16 through 18. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Forever, Onesiphorus will be known as the Christian who was willing to risk his own life to help the Apostle Paul. On that day, when the Lord returns, Onesiphorus will be rewarded. Onesiphorus made it into God's hall of fame. Onesiphorus, from what we can tell, was not an upfront teacher or preacher, but he was faithful and courageous and a help bringer. That's what his name means, help bringer. And he lived up to his name. By the way, Onesiphorus here is not the same as Onesimus in the book of Philemon. Onesiphorus was a Christian from Ephesus, and he came to Rome for the specific purpose of finding Paul. We read that he searched diligently for Paul, maybe all over Rome, and he found him! Exclamation point. He didn't give up. And we read here that he often refreshed Paul, probably brought him food and clothing in prison. We see here that he not only ministered to Paul at Ephesus before Paul was a prisoner, verse 18, but he ministered to Paul as a prisoner in Rome at the risk of his own life. His household is mentioned here probably because they were involved in supporting his mission of coming to Rome to find Paul. Everyone else was turning away, but not Onesiphorus. You know any fellow believers right now who are undergoing some particular test or trial where other Christians are not supporting them? They're turning away for one reason or another. Let's follow Onesiphorus into God's hall of fame.